The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
In 586 BC, as the prophet Jeremiah grieved over the destruction of Jerusalem, he called for God's people to examine themselves and to turn back to God. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40 in the New International Version, we read, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven." And brethren, as we look forward to the coming of God's Passover as God's people today, we too are being encouraged and being asked to examine our ways. The Apostle Paul tells us that it is a time of self-examination. So if you would, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and begin with verse 27. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," we know this word is awkward, we know that it means in an irreverent fashion, without really taking heart, without really having looked at themselves. I mean, it's a bigger word than that, but anyway, it simply says, "unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily," whoever takes of the Passover in that irreverent manner, "eats and drinks damnation or judgment to himself, because he has not discerned the Lord's body." And this Lord's body could be referring to the body of Jesus Christ, but it also could be referring to the church of God. And then in verse 30 it says, "For this cause," because there are some who have done that, because some who have even approached the taking of the Passover in an unworthy or in an irreverent manner. It says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and some sleep, some are dead." Maybe because of our sins, of the way we've approached the Passover. That's what it says. That's what it's implying. That's how we have to look at it. So it says, therefore, we need to look at ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. And then later in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul again encourages us to examine yourselves. 2 Corinthians 13 in verse 5. Examine yourselves. The Greek word there for this word examine would mean try or test, or make trial of. In other words, we're to be paying attention. We're to be putting ourselves to a test. That's what this word would mean, and we just said, examine it. Well, what do you mean, examine? Pick it up, turn it over? Is that it? So much more. "Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." We're going to look at this verse through the sermon today. It has so much to it that we want to take a look at. But I'd like for us to ask, I believe, some very important questions as we start this off. The first question is, why should we examine ourselves? The second question is, by what standard should we examine ourselves? And then a third question is, are there other questions that we should be asking ourselves? So let's focus our attention on examining yourselves, or examine your ways, which is probably, in our looking at it, a better translation. A better way of looking at it, it would be examine your ways. And as we do this, I'd like for us to consider, why should we examine our ways? Why should we? Well, to put it very, very simply, we've already read it. It's in this verse, and that is we are to do it to determine whether or not we are in the faith. The expression "in the faith" refers to being a faithful believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, someone who would confess that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, my boss, my owner, and I'm changing my life to be like Him. I want Him to be in me. I mean, it would mean all of that kind of thing. I mean, you could go on and on and on. But it is referring to a faithful believer. Therefore, we are to examine ourselves whether or not we are remaining faithful to God. Because it's not necessarily referring to someone who is not a believer. This expression that we have here in 2 Corinthians 13:5, where it starts off and it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. This is talking to true believers. So it's addressing the church of God. So it's addressing us. And so we need to take it that way. We need to look at it in that way. And so this is what it is says. This is what it is asking us. Are we remaining faithful to God, yes or no? I mean, after all, there is a present and real danger of being led away from God, even as true believers. I think we understand it. I think we realize that. And as we are also told over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 3, it is possible, it tells us, it is possible to develop an evil heart of unbelief. So let's go there. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Remember who this is talking to. This is talking to believers. This is not talking to the man out there that does not believe that Jesus is the Christ, that would not be considered in this case as being a believer. This is someone who is confessing that he is a believer. And it is therefore possible, because there is a real present and real danger, that we could be led away because of things like this, that there be the unbelief, the heart of unbelief, in departing from the living God. It's not talking about the world, because they are not connected with God. So they can't depart from something where they're not connected. In verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. In other words, what we are being told is, as we examine our ways, we're also told that we are to be exhorting one another to examine your ways. In other words, I am told to examine my ways, but I'm also instructed to exhort you to examine your ways. And you are instructed to encourage each other to examine your ways. I don't examine your ways. You don't examine my ways. But we exhort one another to do that. This is what this is telling us. And so it says that we are to do that, and therefore we need to do this. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. I should have told you to put a marker there. We will go into this verse several times today. In 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. This verse is implying that it is possible for us to know how we are standing before God. This verse is telling us that we can also know what our condition is with God. The same point is also demonstrated for us over in 1 John. Let's go to 1 John. We'll read three different passages over there. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So the question we ask is how we can know where we're standing. The question is, are we? Yes or no? 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Another question. Do we love one another? Do we love our brethren? Yes or no? Verse 24, this is still in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. And he that keeps his commandments dwell in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Okay, now 1 John 5, verse 13. This is the last verse that we're going to look at here to see this same point about how it is possible for us to know that we are standing or where we are standing with God or before God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So again, we see very plain. This is talking to believers. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We can know these things. We can know this. That's what this is saying. And so we are encouraged to examine ourselves so that we will know these things. We need to see that Paul is telling the Corinthians and us today, the modern Church of God, that we need to determine where or not if Jesus is in us. He's not in the world. He's not in the people in the world. We know that. But here's something that we do know. We understand that it is possible. We also understand that it is possible to know if he is or not. And we know that we need to determine, is he? Is he in us? Jesus also tells us that we can know. Let's go to John 14, John chapter 14. Begin reading in verse 21, John 14, 21. He that has my commandments and keep them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him, will make known myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? That's a good question. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And so he answers the question, how is he going to make himself known? And the answer, of course, is, and he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He's going to live by the way of life that God has told us, the way of life that Jesus Christ is instructing us. And I think it would be very positive and very clear for us to understand it begins when we put on Christ in baptism. That's where it starts. Let's go back to Galatians 3. It begins when we put on Christ at baptism. Galatians 3, 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Again, this is talking to believers. In verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Remember I told you, Jesus himself tells us that we can know. And so if we have been baptized, we put on Christ. This is what this is saying. So we know that we can know this. We can know it, and we can know that we know it, and we can know, is he in us, yes or no? And this is what this is all implying to us. And so it's a really good point for us to understand this. When we go back to our instructions, what we're basing the sermon on back in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, that we are to examine your ways, we see something also very important there. What we see is that it is not necessary the how he dwells in us. That's not what he's focusing on. What he is focusing on there is rather to know that he does. The how he does it is not the point in that context. The fact that he is, that's important for us to know. And so that's what we need to focus on. Are there ways for us to be able to know whether he does or not? Yes. Yes, there are ways. And this is a very huge, very big reason why we are to regularly examine ourselves. In other words, to go back to the context of that verse over there, we need to understand, we need to determine, are we reprobates? The biblical usage of this word reprobate means failing to pass a test. This Greek word that is translated here in the King James Version as reprobate or reprobates was originally used for metal that was not pure enough for use, such as impure gold or impure silver. And then in a broad sense, it would mean, according to usage, void of judgment. Void of judgment. In other words, it's not usable. And so he tells us that we'd examine ourselves and to see, are we reprobates? Are we usable? Are we going to pass the test? Are we going to fail to pass the test? Or are we going to pass the test? Because that's what he's asking us to take a look at and to see. Are we in the faith and are we reprobates? Or do we pass the test? In the New Testament, this word is used several times to refer to a person whose works will not pass God's test. This is what it is stating. This is what it is meaning back over there in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And then in verse 6 it says, but I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. We are not. In other words, we can pass the test. We would be like pure gold. We would be like the pure silver. And this is what he's saying. We need to look, see, are we able to pass this test, yes or no? Paul is telling us that as true believers, we are to examine ourselves to make sure that Christ is in us and that he will be in us if we don't fail God's test. So I think it's a real good time for us to take a look at and ask ourselves, are we reprobates? And I have some points for us to consider. The first point, number one, is it is a given that Jesus is in believers. That's a given. Second point, Jesus is in believers unless they have become reprobates or disqualified, which is what it says in the New King James Version. In the King James Version and the author, in the American Standard Version, it says, you be reprobates. In the New American Standard Version and in the NIV, New International Version, it uses the phrase, you fail the test. And then in the King James, it says reprobates, and in the New King James, it says disqualified. It's all using the same Greek words, same words that they're talking about here. Literally, that word means not standing the test. And in the context, it is referred to what test? Not standing up to what test? Well, two points. One is being in the faith. And number two is having Jesus Christ in you. So we're to examine ourselves to see if we're reprobates, to see if we're disqualified, to see if we fail the test. What is the test? What makes us either not reprobates or not disqualified? Whether or not we are in the faith or whether or not Jesus Christ is in us. That's what this verse is showing us. This is what this is showing. It simply shows us that a true believer can fall away or can turn away from God and from God's ways. If it were not possible, we would not be being told to examine ourselves to see, are you reprobates? So from even the context here, we can see it's possible. The point he's making is, don't let it happen. Examine, look at yourself to make sure it doesn't happen. That's what he's implying. That's what he's wanting us to understand. Because the Apostle Paul warns us about falling from grace. It's a term that he uses. It's over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 4. Galatians 5 verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. In other words, you're not passing the test. You are reprobates, or you are disqualified. Peter also warns about falling from grace, but he uses another word, and that's over in 2 Peter 3 and verse 17. He actually uses the word our own steadfastness. This is 2 Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And so we see from both Paul and from Peter, they're telling us it's possible. Just don't let it happen. And then Jesus also describes what happens to a person that could use the term fall away, fall from grace, not pass the test. It's over in John 15. So let's go there. It's when Jesus describes for us what would happen to those branches who do not bear fruit. It's all the same principles here. This is all talking about the same kind of thing. John 15, verse 1. John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So he tells us it's possible. Those, remember he says, I am the vine, my husband is the husbandman, and every branch in me. Again, this is not talking to the world. This is talking to the church. This is talking to us. That it bears fruit or it doesn't bear fruit. So again, just like Peter and just like Paul, here Jesus Christ is also telling us that it is possible. And their warning is don't let it happen. I mean, obviously, that's what he's telling us to do. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. In other words, abide in me, live in me, remain in me. This is what he's saying, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him. Remember, this test is, are you in the faith and is Jesus in you? Jesus is describing this particular process. This is what he's talking about. The same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch which is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned up. So again, we can see through self-examination, we can know what is our true condition before God. So to determine if we really do know ourselves, as Paul is calling us to self-examination, then he asks it and he puts it in the form of another question. This is all back in there in 2 Corinthians 13:5. And the question is, he wants us to think about is, do you not know yourselves? What Paul is asking us to consider is, that it is possible for us to fall into the trap of being self-deceived. Do you not know yourselves? If we think we know ourselves and we think that we are better, you know, we're where we ought to be, and in reality we're really not, because we're not examining ourselves by what we need to be examining ourselves, then we can be self-deceived, and this is what he's telling us. James 1, we know this, in James 1, verse 22 through 25. James 1, 23 through 25. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so we know that. We know that we can do that. This is what it is saying. It says, it's like the man who looks in the glass and goes away and forgets what manner he was. In verse 25, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed or in his doing. So we can know. This is the point. This is the point that we keep seeing over and over that we need to be aware of. Then, here in James 1 and verse 26, we are told the religion of a person like this is actually worthless. Not going to deal with what this word religion means as part of this sermon. That's an entire sermon in itself. But anyway, in verse 26, a New International Version, I like this one better. It says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. So I think that we should understand there really does need to be a periodic self-examination so that we will avoid deceiving ourselves, and so that we will know we are in the faith and Jesus Christ is in us. With this need to examine or to test your ways, it leads us to the second question. By what standard are we to examine our ways? Well, I think it's pretty obvious by this time. I think it's pretty obvious that we cannot have belief merely upon what we may think of ourselves. Well, I think I'm doing just great, and that's sufficient. I think we all understand that that's just not going to cut it. That's not the way to do it. In other words, it must be God who commends. And I'm using that word because that's what the verse we're going to read says, that we must allow God to commend us or extol us or praise us. All of those are the same kinds of words for what we could be reading here. 2 Corinthians 10:18. 2 Corinthians 10:18. For not he that commends or extols or praises himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends or extols or praises. There's another translation. It's called the Easy to Read Version. I don't always recommend it, but I like the way they worded this particular verse. It says, what people say about themselves means nothing. What counts is whether the Lord says they have done well. I like that. It's pretty simple, straightforward, and that actually summarizes the verse. And so, like I said, I think it's a pretty good one. Because here's the point, brother. Even though we might think that we are all right, we are not the final judge. We're not the authority to determine that. 1 Corinthians 4:4. For I know nothing by myself. This is Paul the Apostle writing this. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. And I think Paul had a pretty good handle on his life, you know. And if he says, I'm ready, I know where I stand, I would believe that Paul was ready and knew where he stood. And then he actually says, but I don't judge myself, it's God that judges me. You know, he's the one that's going to make the determination, then that's right, and that we need to understand that. Because see, here's the point, using Paul as another illustration is recorded for us in the Bible, and that is we could be wrong in our basic assumptions, which could lead to wrong conclusions about ourselves. The Apostle Paul, I believe, is an excellent example. He recorded it. God allowed this to be put into the pages of the Bible. Paul thought that his persecuting of the Christians was right with God. This is what he says. Acts chapter 26, verse 9. Acts 26 and verse 9. Now, I know I said he wrote. I know that Luke is the one who actually wrote this down. I do understand that. Acts 26, verse 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice or my consent against them. This is Paul. He thought he was doing it right. But the basic assumption can still lead to wrong conclusions. And that is the point that we're seeing. Verse 11. I have punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I followed and hunted them down, is what he is saying. Believers. And here's the point. This is all going to be true also about many people who think they are pleasing God. It's in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus speaking, and when he says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Remember, we're looking at what is the standard by which we look at. Not what we think, but it's what God says. That's what we're at the standard. Verse 22, and he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out demons, and in your name done many wonderful works? And the answer to the question is, yeah, they did. So, what does Jesus say? And then will I profess or say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. It's not what we think, it's what God says. There has to be a standard outside of ourselves and outside of others. Their approval doesn't really mean a whole lot. We are told that if we even comparing ourselves with others is unwise. One of the more modern translations says is stupid. And that makes a lot more sense when you read it. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend or extol or praise themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves, remember, we're not to look at selves and measure ourselves by ourselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are stupid. This one says, are not wise. I like stupid better. There's nothing wise about it. It is absolutely stupid for us to be doing that, and that's the point. In fact, others' approval. Over there in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of men's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. He says, I don't even judge myself, and I want to be judged by you. I want to be judged by God. This is what he's implying. This is what he's saying. And so that's where we need to go. So I think it's pretty obvious by this point that we need to see that we cannot simply trust ourselves or others. There has to be another standard by which we're to examine ourselves. And of course, that standard is what? The Word of God. It is God who is the ultimate judge. 1 Corinthians 4:4. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is of the Lord. Jesus Christ said that we will be judged for not living by his words. We're going to be judged for living by his words, but we're also going to be judged for not living by his words. It's in John chapter 12, verse 47, John 12, verse 47, New International Version. It says, if anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. So we're going to be judged. Whether we are living by the words of God, yes or no. And then, of course, we most of us probably know this verse, and in Matthew 4 and verse 4, it's the same in Luke 4, verse 4, when Jesus Christ is being tempted by the devil, and he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we see this over and over. Therefore, it should be very clear, the only real standard to use when we examine ourselves is the word of God. We cannot trust our own words about ourselves, our feelings about ourselves, or what others might say. The standard has to be the word of God. Let me ask some other questions for us to consider in our lives as we examine our ways. Question number one, and you may look at these and they may, you know, go, these are stinging questions. We're examining ourselves. Number one, is Jesus Christ in me? In other words, did I put him on in baptism? Galatians 3:27. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Number two, am I keeping his commandments? We've read these verses that I'm reading, so it's just a restatement in one way. Number two, am I keeping his commandments? John 14:21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will be manifest myself in him or to him. Number three, am I remaining or abiding or living in his word? Am I living in his word? John 8:31. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. If we continue in his words. Question number four. Now, I understand these questions, we just read the question, we kind of put a verse to it, and that doesn't end it. We need to really be examining ourselves with these. There's a lot more thought could go into every one of these, and I know that we know this. Number four, do I love the brethren as Jesus loves me? John 13. These are words that are read at the Passover service during a part of the foot washing and all through there. Verse 34 and 35. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brethren abides in death. So that fourth question is, do I love the brethren as Jesus loves me? Number five, Am I producing fruit in my life? John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. John 15, verse 8. Question 5. Am I producing fruit in my life? God is glorified by the fact that we're producing fruit in our lives. What kind of fruit? Well, one could be the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23. You know that. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Or it could be the fruit of our lips in praising God. That's in Hebrews 13, verse 15. Or it could be the fruit of good works. I have two passages, both are in the book of Titus. Titus 2, 14. And Titus 3, verse 8 and verse 14. Now, I know I went over these questions kind of hurriedly and giving the comments and the answers and all, but the main thing is to get the questions. Because each one of us need to be examining ourselves by asking these questions and doing studies on each one of them. Now, I want you all to go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. In verse 15, and I'm going to read this from the New International Version, the NIV, verse 15. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Remember, we're encouraged. We've attained. If you're baptized, if you've put on Jesus Christ, you're in the faith. We're examining ourselves to see are we continue in, and whether we're not square on, we need to get ourselves square on. This is what it is telling us. In verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example. I'm reading the words of the Apostle Paul. I'm not saying my words there. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So in other words, it's okay for us to look to others as we examine ourselves, and we're exhorting one another to examine themselves, to look for those people who set these the really good examples. Now, it's an okay thing. This is what Paul is telling them to do, and so I think it's an okay thing for us to do. And I know that, of course, there would be other questions that might be appropriate for us to ask when examining ourselves, but what I hope this has done is that I hope this has shown us how we need to use the Word of God to prove ourselves. I want us to think for a moment about those who are the reprobate, those who are the disqualified, those who fail the test. We don't want it to happen to us. I don't want it to happen to you. And you know what I'm saying? You know, you don't want it to happen to me, and I don't want it to happen to you. But we also know the reality is some will be. And so Paul tells us, he describes for us some of what happens to some of them and how they live their lives, and it's over in Philippians chapter 3. In these first few verses that we're going to read, it shows how those who are the reprobate and the disqualified and those who fail the test, how they are living. And then in the last few verses we're going to read, talks us more about how we would want to be living our lives. And I think it's just really interesting. It's put together in these real short verses here. Let's go to Philippians 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, in other words, their own physical pleasures and things, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. In other words, they pay attention to the physical, and they're not spending time on the spiritual. And what you have to understand is this is describing people who have been believers. This is describing people that in our context, over in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith, prove your own self, and know you're not, are you reprobates? This is describing some who would answer in that verse, yes, they are. Well, actually, they wouldn't be answering that because they wouldn't be examining themselves. But this is describing people who are reprobates, or the New King James Version uses the word disqualified, or some others use the phrase who failed the test. They focus on the worldly things. They focus on things of the flesh as opposed to the spiritual things of God. Verse 20. For our conversation or our conduct is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we focus on the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And we need to look at that. That's a question. Do we focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or do we, as these people done, they focus on their own belly, they focus on the earthly things? Where do we put our attention? Of course, we live in this world. Of course, we have to feed ourselves, we have to clothe ourselves, we have to do these physical things. We live in Egypt. And there are things that are necessary. We understand that. Where is our focus? That's what we're drawing attention to here. Verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? Are we focused on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or are we focusing on me? I think by the time we get to this point, I think we all would agree it is so much better that we do examine our ways. I want to conclude this sermon today by reading the verse that we've been reading throughout and focusing so much of the sermon on, and that is 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. And I'd like to read it to you, and I'd like for you to listen to it. I'm going to read it to you in the J.B. Phillips New Testament version. It just puts it in a way that I think in our modern language we can sense it, we can hear it in our own selves and put ourselves there. 2 Corinthians 13:5. You should be looking at yourselves to make sure that you are really Christ. It is yourselves that you should be testing, not me. Some translations say, not Christ. We'd be testing us. Not Christ. Not me. Not somebody else. You ought to know by this time that Christ is in you. And listen to this phrase. Unless you are not real Christians at all. Kind of sobering when you put it in this context. It says, unless you are reprobates. And of course, we go, oh, I'm not a reprobate. I don't know what the word means, but I know I'm not a reprobate. I'm not that. But when you put it in this context, unless you are not real Christians at all. Because remember, all of this is written to those who claim they are Christian. And so we are exhorted to examine ourselves and to find out. And we can know. We can have Jesus Christ in us. We know that we can, and we can determine that we are in the faith. And that's what we're to be examining ourselves and to do. So let's examine ourselves so that we will all know that we are in Christ, in the faith, as we approach the Passover. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.